This just in, we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Damage here along the Gulf Coast is catastrophic. There's a frantic effort underway tonight to find survivors. There are an uncounted number of the dead tonight.
We're also getting reports this morning of an explosion, a bomb explosion, in Russell Square. Some eyewitnesses say it was in a litter bin, and some eyewitnesses also say that it blew the top off a bus. And Scotland Yard have now confirmed that there was an explosion in Russell Square.
Welcome to Perilous Times with your host, Martin Banner. We are now living in perilous times, and we study the Word of God each week to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church in this hour. We teach on prophetic events and study what the Scriptures say about the last days, the tribulation period, and the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We support body ministry, which comes through born-again Christian believers who are filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Now come join us as we get into the Word of God and hear what God is saying to the church in this hour, in these perilous times.
And the sons of Issachar were known as men who understood and discerned the times they were living in and knew what they were supposed to do in Israel. Do we? There is no doubt we're living at the very end of the age when Jesus told us that He would return. The signs of the times are all around us. Earthquakes, famine, pestilence, wars and rumors of wars, distress of nations, economic turmoil, the proliferation of the wickedness in society and culture, false religion and the harlot church, signs and wonders in the sky, and deception everywhere. We are truly living in perilous times in these last days. And we may not know the day or the hour when Jesus comes, but He clearly said that we could know the season. We're children of the light, and that day shall not take us by surprise. So when you see all these things converging in the world, my friends, look up. Our redemption draws near. So we invite you to go online to perilous times.com and join us, not only to understand and discern the times we are living in, but to find out how we are to walk, the faith that we're to keep, and what we are to do as we approach the coming of the Lord and the end of all things. You're not alone in your struggle to survive in these perilous times. God is still on the throne and in control, and we are here too as your family and as your friends to help you stay focused on this truth, that no matter how bad it gets, or how it seems that evil is triumphing, we've read the last chapter, and we win. PerilousTimes.com, because the light overcomes the darkness, and the good news still speaks louder than the bad.
Well, welcome everyone to Perilous Times, and this week our message is Satan's Lethal Combination. Satan's Lethal Combination. I'll go ahead and get whatever you need to take notes with, and we're going to start in a quick word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time together. Father, I ask that you would anoint my tongue as I speak forth your word, that your word would go forth with power, that it would be a sharp two-edged sword dividing that which is soulless from that which is spirit. Father, I ask that you anoint the ears of the hearers that they might hear and understand and comprehend the richness and the goodness of your word, and that it would go down deep into good soil, and that it would bring forth much fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And Father, we ask it all in the name above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, beloved, this week, the message, Satan's Lethal Combination. And we're going to get into the Word of God. We're going to take a look at what the Word of God says about two different lethal combinations in the Word of God, two different aspects in the Word where that bring forth great evil within the church system, and how Satan has gone forth in these last days to try to bring this combination of evil. And if you would turn with me, we're going to look in the Scriptures first. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Okay, the first evil, the love of money. The second one, we're in James, the book of James, chapter 3, 16. James chapter 3, verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Okay, beloved, this week the message, Satan's lethal combination. We're going to take a look at it, what he's trying to do to the church. And what is that combination? Well, first of all, it is the love of money, which is, the Word of God says, is the root of all evil. The second evil combination, wherever jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Okay, so the first one, the love of money, the root of all evil. The second one, selfish ambition, and it says wherever it exists, there is disorder and every evil thing. Both of these things bring forth evil, selfish ambition and the love of money. So this week we're going to look at those two lethal combinations that Satan is trying to bring upon the leadership of the church, upon the ministry, to get them to walk in selfish ambition, which the Word of God says brings forth every evil thing, and to get them to walk in the love of money, which the Word of God says is the root of all evil. Now, beloved, when you take a look at the condition of the church in this hour, you will see that there are many that are proposing this idea that God wants you rich, that you are to pursue wealth, that you are to pursue riches. Of course, in previous messages, we've discussed that in Timothy, where there is warning after warning that those who desire to be rich have fallen into the snare of the devil. All you have to do is desire riches. Those that will be rich, it says, those who desire riches have fallen into the snare of the devil and into many harmful and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition and destruction. Drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, this is the first aspect, the first of the lethal combination Satan is trying to bring forth. It's like a 1-2 punch that he's trying to bring on the church. A lethal combination, a left hook and a right jab. It's like he's coming in the face of the people of God in these last days with what? With leadership that is promoting the love of money, and that some desiring it, coveting it, that they have fallen and erred from the faith. And number two, selfish ambition, which brings forth every evil thing. Now, when you combine selfish ambition and the love of money, well, beloved, you there have a very, very lethal combination, because both of these bring forth evil. But when you combine the two, there is a multiplication of that evil that the enemy, Satan, is trying to bring upon the house of God. Beloved, this is what is driving the great falling away, the great apostasy that we are warned about in the scriptures. The very driving force behind that apostasy is this lethal combination coming forth from the adversary, the enemy, from Satan, where he's trying to bring forth this combination of selfish ambition and the love of money within the body of Christ, within the leadership of the church, within the ministry, those who minister the gospel of Christ. Now, what is the answer to this? We're going to take a deep study into the Word of God, what the Word of God says about these two evil roots that can come forth, this selfish ambition and the love of money. And we're going to take a look at what the Word of God says. What are the symptoms of these things? What are some examples? And what is the solution, beloved? Because if you're sitting under leadership that is moving in selfish ambition and in the love of money, there is going to be a multiplication of the evil spoken of in the Word of God. The Word of God is clear. It is warning you. It is saying to you, beloved, that the love of money is the root of all evil. And while some have been coveted after it, they have erred from the faith. Well, beloved, in order to err from the faith, you must first be in the faith. And if someone errs from the faith, that means they are moving away. They are getting into error. They are drifting from the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, from sound doctrine. Now, the Word of God says that in the last days that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It talks about also that they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They will heap to themselves teachers in accordance with their own lust, having itching ears. Now, I'm just quoting from memory these scriptures, and that's what we do a lot of time. We just, the Lord will give me a theme, He'll give me a topic, and we'll just come on, and we'll just, as the Spirit of God gives us utterance, we will speak on a matter. And beloved, a word in season, that's what we need, beloved. We don't need a bunch of canned messages, a bunch of echoes echoing throughout the land, but we need a voice. We need a word. We need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying unto the churches. Hallelujah. In this last day, in these end times, in these perilous times which we now find ourselves living, we need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying unto the churches. We need to have a word in season. We need a prophetic word from the Lord. We need to hear the word of the Lord, for it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Beloved, are you in a fellowship? Are you being fed somewhere where you are hearing the words that are coming out of the mouth of God? Or are you somewhere in a church system, a organization of man, in some type of denominational structure, something that is dividing the body of Christ, something that is bringing error into the sheepfold? Are you sitting in a church that is part of this great apostasy, this great falling away that we are warned about? You see, beloved, many out there, they just don't want to address the issue. They want to bury their head like an ostrich deep into the sand and ignore all of the false doctrine, ignore all of the false teaching, ignore all of the false prophets and the wolves in sheep's clothing, all of the error, and even this lethal combination that the enemy is trying to bring upon the body of Christ through the false leadership that Satan is raising up to deceive the masses. For it is written that Satan comes as an angel of light. And is it no wonder that he disguises his ministers as ministers of righteousness? Yes, Satan has his own ministers that come as wolves in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. They speak like sheep. They act like sheep. They even preach the gospel of Christ, but they do twist those scriptures to their own destruction. The Word of God says they wrestle with them. They twist them. And what do they come forth with? Well, they come forth with these doctrines that God wants you rich. They tell you, they teach you that you are to pursue wealth when the Word of God forbids you to pursue wealth. And it says some who have coveted after the love of money have erred from the faith. They've departed. They've gotten off of the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, and they've gotten onto the broad path that leadeth to destruction. And how did they do that? Well, it says in the Word of God that because they coveted after money, after filthy lucre, after mammon, they tried to serve God and mammon, and they have failed, beloved. They have erred from the faith. They have drifted from the straight and narrow path that leads to life. Beloved, there's only two paths out there. There's only two paths. One path leads to life. It's on the straight and narrow path. It leads to life. It leads through Christ the door to the Father, to eternal life. There is another path that which the Word of God calls the broad path that leadeth to destruction. And it says many shall go therein. Now, beloved, you're either on that straight and narrow path or you're on the broad path that leads to destruction. So think about it, beloved. Everyone out there on planet Earth today, they're either in one of two places at this moment, in this time frame. They are either traversing upon that straight and narrow path that leadeth unto life, or they are on the broad path that leadeth to destruction. Everyone you meet, everyone that's in your family, everyone that you work with, everyone that you fellowship with at your local church or at wherever you attend, whether it's a house church or whether you fellowship in a Bible study or a local assembly, a congregation, a church building, all of those people are on one of two paths. They're either traversing that straight and narrow path that leads us to life, that leads us to righteousness, to Christ, where they're following Christ. They are denying themselves, picking up the cross and following Christ, or they are on the broad path that leadeth to destruction. Everyone you have ever met in your life is on one of those two paths. There is no other option. You can't be in limbo. You cannot be neutral on this topic. When it comes to Jesus Christ, you have to make a decision. You cannot stand on the sidelines. You must either receive Him, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Christ on that straight and narrow path that leads to life, or you must deny Him, reject Him, and continue on the broad path that leads to destruction. Well, beloved, I tell you, Satan's lethal combination, what he's coming for, the deception, the apostasy that he's bringing upon the church system, is designed to get you off of the straight and narrow path and to get you traversing, to get you traveling on a broad path that leads to destruction. That is his agenda. That is his purpose. That is his plan. That is what he desires to do to you, beloved. He wants to bring you on that broad path, and he wants to destroy your soul. He's the enemy of your soul, the adversary, the evil one. And beloved, he goes around about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. As a roaring lion, he goes forth seeking whom he may devour. Notice he can't devour everyone. He can only devour those who he may devour, those who he's allowed to devour. And who is the enemy able to devour but those who are on that broad path that leads to destruction? Those who are on the straight and narrow path are in the ark of Christ, in the safety, under the hedge of protection, under the blood. Much like the children of Israel in the land of Goshen, when they applied the blood, the death angel passed over when it recognized the blood from the Lamb of God, which represented the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the world. Now, beloved, the question is, are you under that blood? Are you on that straight and narrow path that leads to life? Or are you like so many other ear ticklers out there and those who want to have their ears tickled? Are you heaping to yourself teachers in according with your own lusts who are telling you what you want to hear and tickling your ears? And what is the biggest ear tickling thing going on right now? I believe that the Lord has shown me that Satan has come with a lethal combination, a 1-2 punch. He's looking for a knockout. He wants to take you down. He wants to bring you into a position where you err from the straight and narrow path. So Satan has two agendas going on. One, if you're already on the wide path that leads to destruction, if you're already on that path, well, he wants to keep you there. He wants to keep you on that path, that broad path, that wide path that leads to destruction. But if you're on the straight and narrow path and you are following Jesus Christ, he wants to bring you into error. He wants you to err from the faith. Now, the Word of God says that some who have coveted after money, the love of money, that some who coveted after it, coveted after wealth, that they have erred from the faith. You see, they were on the straight and narrow path, and they erred off of it. They veered off of that path back onto the broad path that leads to destruction. Now, beloved, you do not want to follow in their footsteps, which some who had coveted after the love of money have erred from the faith. It says that there are many who desire to be rich, who will be rich. They want to be rich. And it says that they will drown themselves. It talks about that they will be rich and that they desire riches. And it talks about them being drowned in destruction and perdition because they get overcome with the lust of things, the lust of wealth, the lust of buying this, buying that, the things in this world. You know, we have a situation going on where this is the most popular doctrine out there, the prosperity gospel, they call it. And they're telling people that God wants them to pursue riches. But the Word of God is clear. It says that some who will to be rich, some who desire to be rich, that they have been overcome. They have been snared by the devil and fallen into many hurtful, harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition, damnation. Beloved, you don't want to end up in that situation. And what else is the enemy bringing? He's bringing that is the 1-2 punch, that and selfish ambition. Satan is raising up men full of ambition. Look in James chapter 3, verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. So selfish ambition brings forth every evil thing, and the love of money is the root of every evil thing. So here we have the root, the love of money, the selfish ambition that brings forth where the root blossoms and grows. Now, when you get that lethal combination going, when you have leadership in the so-called house of God that both are obsessed with the love of money, the root of evil, and they're full of selfish ambition that brings forth every evil thing, you have a lethal combination. And when I say lethal combination, what do I mean? I mean, this is something that can damn your soul. That's what I mean. I mean, this is something that can bring forth great evil, because the love of money is the root of evil, and the selfish ambition brings forth every evil thing. So when you put the two together, there's a magnification of evil taking place, beloved. There is a promotion of this evil. There is a satanic agenda. There is an open door for the enemy to come in and deceive you and to get you into error, that you might err from the faith and that you might go off of the straight and narrow path and back onto the broad path that leads to destruction. Now, there are men out there that will tell you once you are on the straight and narrow path that you cannot get off. But I tell you, beloved, that you can err from the faith. That's the warning there. It says, which some having coveted after have erred from the faith. Now, you don't want to end up like that. You don't want to end up like those that Paul's warning Timothy that have erred from the faith. They were once in the faith. They were once on the straight path. They were once walking, following Christ. But they have erred off to pursue mammon, the love of money. Now, we're going to look at this lethal combination. It can kill the move of God's Spirit in the church you're in, and it can replace it with great evil. Many ministers that are operating in both selfish ambition and the love of money are bringing forth this great apostasy we are now seeing. And if you look, you will see that most circles where you see this apostasy and all this deception, this great falling away, you're going to see ministers who are promoting the love of money, and they're promoting this false doctrine to pursue wealth, and that God wants you rich, when Jesus himself said, do not store up your riches on earth. No, he said, do not do that. You know, we'll take a look at that scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 6, I believe. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, that's the warning coming from the Lord. do not store up riches. Now, if you don't store up riches, you can never become rich. You can really never become rich unless you start to store them up. Now, beloved, it's very important that we obey God in this manner, that we lay up our treasures in the kingdom. And there's many ways you can do that. But right now we're going to look at these two selfish ambition and love of money, these two evils that are existing side by side, selfish ambition and the love of money. And we're going to look at how you can overcome that. And we're going to look at what is the solution to that. The first one, selfish ambition, the form it comes in. A, the lust to be seen of men, to have a large successful ministry, and it appeals to the pride of life. Selfish ambition, it comes in many forms. Let me give you some examples. Some ministers out there, they're constantly talking about having a large church building. Some of them have gone forth and built these very large mega church buildings. In fact, I've been noticing, I check up on different ministries throughout the North America and other parts of the world online and watch different services, and I've noticed some of these mega churches, some of them that will hold thousands of people, very large facilities, are down to a couple hundred people attending. So here they went out and built their very large buildings, but they don't have anyone in them. And I just seen a very large mega church recently that were in the area where we live that was for sale. They had the building up for sale. Another example, many of them that go on TV, they want to become celebrities, a big name. They're looking to build up a big reputation. And how do they do that? Well, they do that by selling the Word of God. They do that by merchandising the gospel. And they go forth and they use this idea that they can sell the revelations of God and they justify it by, well, that's how I pay for my ministry so I can be on TV. But what is the root of the whole thing? Well, it's selfish ambition, because they want to be seen of men. They want to have a big name. They want to be famous. Another thing that you see many of them is striving for international ministry. I see Joe Smith International Ministry, and I'm just using that as an example. I'm not pointing out any individual, if there's any Joe Smiths out there. But it's like everyone wants to stick on their name, so-and-so international ministry. This idea of big is better. Well, you know, Jesus didn't promote this idea of making yourself famous or a celebrity. But he said that, you know, those who will be the greatest in the kingdom of God will be the servant of all. Jesus promoted the basin and the towel, my friend. He said, pick up the basin and towel and wash your brother's feet. Jesus said we need to be a servant, not a lord or a master. He said, do not lord over the sheep as the heathen do, but rather be an example to the flock, serving them with all humility. So many of them, they look to be famous. They look to be big name on TV. And the only way you can be on TV, I'll be honest with you, Christian TV, you're going to have to sell the gospel. You're going to have to merchandise. You're going to have tape series, CDs, all this kind of CD series and books and all this to sell your stuff to pay for all those big bills. Now, with our ministry, we choose not to sell books or tapes. We make them available free. You can download our messages free. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't help support the radio time, because it's very expensive. But we choose. I mean, we could go out there and sell and market it, and we could do that, and we could bring all kinds of money in and get on TV and do the same thing. We could have a Perilous Times TV broadcast would probably be a big hit. But, you know, why do we not go that direction? Because I do not believe that God wants us to merchandise the gospel. I don't believe that God wants us to try to build a big ministry or to have a big name and to be seen of men on TV and whatever other way they do that with the selling of the gospel. But that's this selfish ambition. I'm giving you examples of what to look for to see if you're under a minister that is full of selfish ambition. They'll constantly want to be building something. They'll constantly be boasting about what they have done, things they have done. They'll constantly want to build a bigger church building. They'll want to be on TV, some of them. Some of them, they want to have an international ministry known all over the world. Some of them, many of them, they'll write books. And why do they write books? In order to, most of them, it's their desire, their dream to have a million seller and become famous. And all of this is done, of course, in the name of the Lord and in the name of ministry. But what is it all? It is nothing but selfish ambition. I tell you what, when you have men in leadership, when you have men who are in ministry that have selfish ambition, you have a dangerous thing moving there, beloved. It's a very dangerous thing. Why? Because it says right here in James 3:16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. And that's what ambition will do. It'll cause great strife. Because people who are wanting to follow Christ and walk in humility and walk submitted to God are going to be in direct opposition to those who are promoting themselves. So those who are in selfish ambition and doing something that is full of ambition rather than the pure motive of serving God and obedience to God, they're going to be conflicting with those who are being led by the Spirit. So those who are led by the Spirit are going to be in direct opposition to those who are moving in selfish ambition. The ministry that we're doing with Perilous Times, I actually, at one point, I didn't even want to do the radio. And the Lord spoke to me one time. I was fishing. I was out trout fishing with my daughter. And I got snagged on the bottom of a creek, snagged onto something, and I was yanking on it. It was the last particular lure I had, and the trout were really hitting this lure. And I was telling my daughter, I hope I don't lose this lure, because this is the one they all like. And all of a sudden it came loose. I reeled it in, and there was an exact replica of the crown of thorns right around in a circle. Could have been used, maybe not an exact replica, but it could have been used as if you had a passion play going on representing the crucifixion. This could have been used as a crown of thorns on the actor's head that would portray Christ. I mean, it looked just like the crown of thorns. As I was removing it from the lure, one of the thorns pierced my finger and blood started to flow down my whole hand. At that moment, I had a vision right there, Christ standing before me. He spoke these words to me. He said, I wore this crown of thorns for you. Can you not fish for men for me? And my daughter looked at me and said, Daddy, what's happening? You're staring and what's going on? Your hand is bleeding. And I told her, I turned to her, I said, the Lord just appeared to me, spoke to me. I said, yes, Lord, we can fish for men for you. And out of obedience, I gave up this name, Perilous Times. It was gone. Another person had it. The Lord gave it right back to me. I had it many years ago. We were on the radio back 10, 12 years ago. I had this name for the website and all that, and I had given it up. I'd shut everything down. At that point, the Lord gave it back to me. We went on the radio. We went on a newsletter. We actually went forth with the radio broadcast out of obedience. And that is what everyone needs to do in ministry. You need to get a direction from the Lord, and you need to obey the Lord. And you need to do that as service to Christ, as where the Word of God says, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow me. Pick up your cross. Every one of us has a ministry from God. If you're not doing it, you look at the one with one talent, and Jesus returns and he says to him, take that wicked, slothful servant and appoint him a place with the unbelievers. Why? He says, well, Lord, I buried the talent. I didn't do anything with it. I was afraid I might lose it. And I knew you were an austere man, or, you know, you would want your money back. And he said, take that wicked, slothful servant and appoint him a place with the unbelievers. Appoint him a place in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, beloved. Now, if you're out there and you're not doing something for Christ, you need to get busy with, even if you have just one talent, you need to get busy with what God's called you to do. You don't want to end up like that one with the one talent who buried it and was rejected by Christ. And he said to them, take him, this wicked, slothful servant, and send him to outer darkness with the unbelievers, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't want to hear that, beloved. You want to hear, good and well done, thou faithful and good servant. You see, but the other thing you don't want to do is you don't want to be like these people with the selfish ambition. They're going out there doing their own work to be seen of men. You don't want to be like that either. You don't want to be out there full of ambition and every evil thing. You don't want to be out there to be seen of men. You want to be serving Christ in the gift and calling that he has for you. And there's a difference. There's a difference between someone who's obeying God, doing what God called them to do, and someone who's just going forth doing the ambition in their heart to be seen of men and to have a big ministry to get lots of money and power. And again, we're looking at these examples. I'll go over them again. They're constantly looking to build large church buildings. Bigger is always better. Build another building. We're to build the kingdom of God, not a church building. Looking to be on TV. I tell you, I would flee from TV. Because the only way you can be on Christian TV is if you sell and merchandise the gospel. You'll have to fulfill that prophecy where it talks about in the last days they will make merchandise of you. You have to do that. You're going to have to sell the word of God. You're going to have to merchandise. You're going to have to put a price tag on it in order to pay those big bills to be on TV. I don't think that's God. No, I know it's not God. So I tell you, flee these things, beloved. Another thing, that they'll desire international ministry. They'll put that on their name. So-and-so International Ministries. Well, when you see that, you know you got someone that is involved in ambition. They got a lot of ambition, but they want to have an international ministry. Then a lot of them, they write books. They don't write books to get the truth out. I know people who write books to get the word of God out. They don't charge for the books. They give them away free. But when you see people that write books and then they're selling them for like 14, 15 bucks a piece, and they're making millions of dollars, they get a million seller and they walk away with a couple million dollars from their book sales, guess what that is, beloved? Is that serving Christ or is that selfish ambition? Which one is it? Now, another symptom, the first symptom we're looking at is the lust to be seen of men, and how this is the examples we're giving you. Large church building, being on TV, international ministry. Okay, B, another symptom, another example. They lust for a large ministry. They're constantly using all kinds of different Ponzi schemes and different programs and all kinds of different things to build a large ministry. They want to have a big, successful ministry, a big church, lots of people. This is the desire of their hearts. Again, selfish ambition. C, lust for power over people. Many of these same people, they like to control people. They have a control spirit. That's witchcraft. Heavy-handed shepherding. They get involved with people's lives, telling them where to live, telling them who to marry, making decisions for them. I'll tell you what, beloved, and listen to me, you leaders. God has never called anyone to make decisions. Leadership is not to tell people what to do. It is to, the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints to go forth and do the work of the ministry. The leadership of the church, the elders, and that's what the leadership of the church is. You look in the Word of God, it's 69 times elders. It's not a pastor. That's only mentioned one time. One time. Check it out, beloved. Pastor, the word pastor, is one time in the entire New Testament. And it's in Ephesians 4:11. And it reads like this. And God gave gifts unto men. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And the true translation is shepherds. Now, that's the only place it's mentioned in the whole New Testament. It's not an office, it's a gifting. And it's mentioned with the other four gifts. Now, that's it. That's the only time it's mentioned. Now, elders or elder are mentioned 69 times in the New Testament. And then you also have other words used like overseer, bishop, which if you add all of them, they all mean the same thing, oversight of the church. It's the elders. It's the leadership of the house of God. Whether you call it elder, bishop, or overseer, it's all the same. They're interchangeable. And they all mean the same, those who give oversight. They're the leadership of the church. Now, that's mentioned 69 times in elder or elders. If you throw in the other bishop and overseers, you probably have close to 100 scriptures in the New Testament. I don't know the exact number. I'd have to research it. But we have one mention of pastor, and it's in Ephesians 4:11, and it's one of five different gifts given to the elders who are the leaders of the church. That's why it says, is any sick among you, call for the elders and have them anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall raise up the sick. That's why it says, submit to the elders, plural again, for they, plural, watch for your soul. Again, this is the leadership of the church. And so the point being is that there is a group of leadership. Now, the eldership is the leadership of the church. And what do we have? We have these men who are out there with this ambition, and they lust to have power over the people. Now, if you look, I think it's in 3 John, I'm going by memory, there is this man named Diotrephes. And it says Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence among the people. So in the church there, John the apostle was coming to go visit this church. But it says this man Diotrephes was prating about speaking against the apostles. I'm just going by memory here, and I don't know the exact scripture verse, but he was prating about speaking against the apostles and prophets. And he was controlling who could come in the church and minister, much like a modern day pastor would today. And, of course, he didn't want the apostles and prophets there. And, of course, much of the leadership today do not want the apostles and prophets in the church either. Just like this man Diotrephes. Well, this man was sinning. And if you look at John said when he gets there, he's going to put him in his place. He's going to deal with the man. So among the elders, this man Diotrephes had raised himself up over the other elders. And he lusted for power over the people. He wanted to have, the scriptures say, he loved to have the preeminence. So I tell you, beloved, we got leadership all over the land who love to have the preeminence. They want to be in control. They want to be the big shot. They want to be the CEO. They want to be in charge. Basically, many of them are so full of selfish ambition that they want to usurp the position of Christ. Because Christ is the head of the church. Jesus is the head. And he said to the brethren, he said, you are all brethren. Don't call any man rabbi. Now, what was a rabbi under the old covenant? Much like a modern day pastor. He was in charge of the synagogue. Rabbi meant teacher or leader. So he was saying, don't call any man your teacher or leader, for one is your leader, even Christ, and you are all brethren. Level playing field. He's saying no matter whether you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a shepherd, or teacher, whether you're a deacon, whether you're all brethren. Jesus was saying that he is the leader. He is the Christ. He is the teacher. He is the rabbi. And he's saying don't call any man rabbi, leader, or teacher. For one is your leader, even Christ. See, we have a chief shepherd. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. What we need elders who are servant leaders who will get down and take up the basin and the towel and who will serve and feed the sheep in all humility, fulfilling the call of God on their life, exactly what God has called them to do. And they're not striving to make a big name for themselves or to be on TV or to have a million bookseller or to build some big building or some big institution or Bible school or whatever. No, they don't have that ambition. Servant leaders, that's what we need, beloved. And I encourage you to seek out that type of leadership because that's what you need in this day and age. If we take a look at some of the other things they do, they see, they lust for power over the people. We just looked at that D. They lust for fame. These men with ambition, they like to have fame. Fame and riches because they're ambitious. See, they haven't gotten to the place where the Word of God says to deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow after Christ. God means what he says. Deny yourself. So what is the solution to this selfish ambition? Well, it's in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's the solution, beloved. The solution to this lethal combination of selfish ambition and love of money is to deny yourself, to practice self-denial. And how can we practice self-denial? Well, instead of getting your way all the time, let others have their way. Put others first. Put others first in your family. Put others first in your church. Put others first in your business. Put others first in your relationships. And pick up the basin and the towel and wash the feet of those around you and serve them and deny yourself. And in doing that, you will become great in the kingdom of God. You promote yourself. You exalt yourself. And you will not be great in the kingdom, but you will be among those who are full of the selfish ambition. And there's the key, beloved. The key is Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said that to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." There's three things that take place there. First, self-denial. Second, take up your cross daily. Now, how do we take up our cross daily? Well, we need to do that which God has called us to do. Our ministry. What he's gifted us and talented us to do. Like the one with 10 talents, the one with 5, the one with 1. Well, the one with 10, or one, I think actually it was one with 5, one with 3, with one, and he was given 5 more, and on and on. Now, you take your talent that God has given to you, your gift, and you serve Jesus with it. You do exactly what he's called you to do. You got to spend time with the Lord. You got to know what he's called you to do. And you go out and do it. Amen? And that's how you're going to overcome this selfish ambition. You're going to deny yourself. You're going to take up your cross daily and serve Christ. And you're going to follow Christ. That's the third part, C. It says, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Three things there. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Christ. And then, in doing that, become a servant instead of a Lord. Take up the basin and towel like Jesus and serve. Okay, now let's take quickly. We're just about out of time here, but we're going to look at also the second part, the 1-2 combination, the lethal combination from hell. Satan's lethal combination. Number 1, selfish ambition. Number 2, the love of money. They both produce evil. When you combine the two, you have a multiplication of that evil coming from hell to damn souls, to deceive. And when you have it among the leadership, it produces an apostasy in the church. Okay, number 2 is the love of money. The form it comes in. Lust, A, lust for wealth. B, selling books and CDs. Why? To get rich. C, using pressure to get people to give money. All kinds of gimmicks and schemes and conning people into giving money. D, Ponzi schemes. Different multi-level marketing schemes and scams that go on through the body of Christ. And then E, merchandising the gospel and religious paraphernalia. When you see ministries that are marketing and selling the gospel of Christ and religious paraphernalia, get away from it, beloved, because it all has at the root of it the love of money. And the Word of God says the love of money is the root of all evil. And while some have coveted after it, they have erred from the faith. They have erred and veered off from the straight and narrow path that leads to life, and they have gotten themselves back on that broad path that leadeth to destruction. Okay, for the love of money, what is the solution? What is the solution to this 1-2 lethal punch? We looked at the solution to the selfish ambition. It's self-denial. Practice self-denial. Deny yourself. I tell you, you practice denying yourself daily, and you're going to overcome selfish ambition. The love of money. What's the solution to that? Philippians chapter 4, 11 through 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. There it is, beloved. How do you overcome the love of money? Contentment. Be content with what you have. Bigger is not always better. Remember that, beloved, because the enemy is going to try to tell you that bigger is better. Having more, you know, pursuit of love of money, mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. Do not store up your treasures on earth, but store them up in the kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, beloved, remember that. and remember these things that we're telling you, because this is the lethal combination that Satan is trying to bring upon the body of Christ in the last days. It is men, leadership, that are full of selfish ambition and full of the love of money. And then they are infected with the evil that comes forth from both of these things. And they are infecting the church with great evil. And they are bringing the people off the straight and narrow path, causing them to err and veer off to that broad path that leads to destruction. So another thing you can keep in mind when it comes to the love of money, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. You must be a giver. That's one way you can overcome the love of money, is to give it away. Give the money away and you'll be free of the love of money. Also, like we said here, put your treasure in the kingdom of God. Give your money to the work of God's kingdom. And beloved, you do these things and you will overcome the adversary in these areas. Again, our message this week, Satan's lethal combination. We looked at two different areas where he's attacking. Let's look at those scriptures again. James 3:16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Evil things come forth out of ambition. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Here's the second 1-2 punch. Here's the second one, the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And beloved, we don't want to see you in that state, in that condition. We don't want to see you err from the faith. We don't want to see you pierced through with all kinds of sorrows. So beloved, keep your focus on the kingdom of God and on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'd like to hear from many of you. If you'd like to write to us, you can write to us at Perilous Times, P.O. Box 833, Holton, Maine, 04730. Again, that's Perilous Times, plural, Perilous Times, Post Office Box 833, Holton, H-O-U-L-T-O-N, Maine, M-E, 04730. You can also call us toll-free anywhere in North America, 877-711-2906. Again, 877-711-2906. Or you can email us at info@perilloustimes.net. info@perilloustimes.net. And beloved, we'd like to hear from you. Also, those who are listening via radio, we are on many radio stations. Please prayerfully consider helping us with the airtime and tucking in some type of offering to help us with airtime. The airtime is very expensive. We especially need to hear from those out in Phoenix. We're on two large radio stations out in Phoenix, Arizona, and God will bless you for that. Okay, beloved, we're just about out of time. So remember, in everything you say and do, to let the love of God shine through. Beloved, keep your eyes on the eastern skies. Jesus is coming soon. We'll see you again next week. God bless you all.
And the sons of Issachar were known as men who understood and discerned the times they were living in and knew what they were supposed to do in Israel. Do we? There is no doubt we're living at the very end of the age when Jesus told us that he would return. The signs of the times are all around us. Earthquakes, famine, pestilence, wars and rumors of wars, distress of nations, economic turmoil, the proliferation of the wickedness in society and culture, false religion and the harlot church, signs and wonders in the sky, and deception everywhere. We are truly living in perilous times in these last days. And we may not know the day or the hour when Jesus comes, but he clearly said that we could know the season. We're children of the light, and that day shall not take us by surprise. So when you see all these things converging in the world, my friends, look up. Our redemption draws near. So we invite you to go online to perilloustimes.com and join us not only to understand and discern the times we are living in, but to find out how we are to walk, the faith that we're to keep, and what we are to do as we approach the coming of the Lord and the end of all things. You're not alone in your struggle to survive in these perilous times. God is still on the throne and in control. And we are here too, as your family and as your friends, to help you stay focused on this truth, that no matter how bad it gets, or how it seems that evil is triumphing, we've read the last chapter, and we win. PerilousTimes.com, because the light overcomes the darkness, and the good news still speaks louder than the bad.
You've been listening to Perilous Times with your host, Martin Banner. Join us at the same time each week to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church in this hour. If you'd like to listen to archive broadcasts, go to perilloustimes.com and click the radio link. Until next time, remember, in everything you do, let the love of God shine through, and beloved, keep your eyes on the eastern skies. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus.